Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. 2-0 kind of works, doesn't it, coach?
It could be a lot worse.
Brandon Ault didn't play last week. What's his status?
Just playing it out, see what happens here. And, you know, just like any other injury, just trying to figure out what day-to-day type of deal. So that's where we're at.
Jared Henning filled in for him. Was that his best game as a Beaver?
Hands down. He just looked comfortable on the field. Our O-line's given a lot of time to the quarterbacks. They're able to stand in there and process and digest what's going on. So it helps when you got those big boys up front playing well. But, I mean, yeah, he gave the receivers chances. He threw the ball vertically. He ran the offense effectively. Was really proud of the kid.
His first drive went 13 plays, 60 yards, 5 minutes, 40 seconds, and a touchdown. It's a heck of a tone setter, isn't it?
Yeah, I came off the sideline. I'm like, how hard is it? Just do that every time. I'm not an offensive guy. I'm like, just go do it again. But I think they were able to, you know, first off, the offense does a good job. I really don't like going against them all the time. They trade, they shift, they motion, and they create a lot of eye candy and slow teams down. And Mary was, I mean, honestly, they were just running around. I was screaming at Jared about half the time, we'll just snap the freaking ball because they weren't lined up and we probably could just watch for 15 yards. But, you know, he's trying to get everything set and do his job. But later in the game, we caught him a few times. But yeah, it was a great start to the game, and I think it calmed everybody's nerves, and we just went to work.
You've had some really good offensive lines here over the last couple of years. Where does this year's rank on depth?
Depth-wise, it's probably one of our best in terms of I feel perfectly fine. You know, Brandon Frankfurth played in front of Nimi last week with his ankle sprain. He's working his way back, and he should be fine. I think he'll play this week. But we held him precautionary-wise, and Frank, besides getting two holding calls early in the game, I think he calmed down and got playing well. But Ty Cobb's a very good player. You got Rhodes as a backup that's played a lot of college football. James Eglin's in there now, and Nick Johnson moved from D-line to O-line and played a lot of college football as well. So I don't know if we've ever traveled 10 O-linemen. That's the first time we've ever been able to do that. And they all played, and I think you saw a drastic difference between the end of the Mary game and end of the Northern game where our twos went down and scored twice, and we hit the big play in the air with Emma throwing it up to Dell. But the other drive where we kicked the field goal at the one probably was more impressive. I mean, they don't get a ton of work all the time, and so I was proud of those guys to be able to move the ball.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. Mikey Junker had his third pick six of his career last week. What is it that just puts him around the ball all the time?
He's always in the right spot. I think that's where you start with DBs. If you're able to play, it's almost like baseball analogy, deep to shallow in the outfield is run up on it. And he is very rarely in a compromised position. So he's able to break forward. The one he got against Mary, he just baited the quarterback. He made it look like we were running cover two. And then we trapped the corner in some Tampa stuff. And threw it right to him. So part of that was just the illusion of what he was doing. And he's a pretty crafty player. He's played a lot of snaps. So puts himself in the right spot and good things that happen.
Seth Zins was your leading tackler last week. He's from small town Verndale, played under Mike Mallon, who's put together one heck of a culture there for small town football in this state. How does high school culture carry over for Seth here?
You know, it's weird one with Seth. I mean, his story and Seth himself is a very unique person. He'd be a good interview for you, Schultzy, but Seth works extremely hard. But you're right, he comes from that small town and not in a negative light backwoods type of scenario where just it's a farm kid. He works hard and kind of a throwback. So Seth had to pay his due. He came in here redshirted, came from Central Lakes Community College, got himself ready to roll and has really just evolved into a pretty solid player for us. And he was hurt game one, so it was his first game back, and he was kind of, as he kept saying, we're going to unleash the animal, which gotta love the kid. But he played hard, and I think you're right, it's this culture of successful high school programs that do it over and over again. This kind of reminds me of BHS. I was down at the Alex game, and you know, those kids had been in those games before and trusted they were going to win. It's just kind of the same thing with Zins, and some of those guys have had winning cultures, and I think that's the same thing that we do here at BSU.
There aren't that many five-star recruits that come from towns the size of Verndale. How do you project a player's ceiling when they may not play the best competition every week?
I think that's what you hit on the head, is trying to project, and I think that's where we do a pretty good job of, evaluating talent. That's why I was late for our interview here. I was talking with the offensive staff about guys that we're going to offer and put numbers on and all those sorts of things. And it's a long process. And we started, and they, you know, their sophomore years, they get on our radar, junior years. We want to see them at camp, especially going into their senior years. And it does go back a little bit of where they came from, meeting high school programs. I mean, sometimes coming from a really good high school program, it might meet, they reach their ceiling in high school, which is kind of a double-edged sword. But we've had guys from Small Town, Black Ducks, and Bagley's up here that have been really good players. And, you know, I mean, Coach Honor having the small town, Northern Minnesota, along with me, you know, Wadena, you know, where you got Jake Krause and stuff like that. You just look for kids that are maybe a little too light, a little too this, but have good athleticism, and then you can project them back into a lot of different spots.
On to Crookston, grass field, rainy. How does a grass field change the game?
As I told our players, you know, we got done recapping Mary moving to Crookston. I was like, heaven forbid we go out and play football on grass. I'm like, heaven forbid. So I think they got my joke, but I don't think it really changes much. I mean, if it was a rainy day or something like that, then if it would get muddy, whatever. But right now, it feels in good shape over there, and so I would hope it doesn't change anything. But it's certainly the kickers and punters have been going up and working on the grass, and we might sneak up for a couple sessions up there too. But right now, it's like, come on, boys, it's football, and let's go play in a parking lot if we have to.
Their middle linebacker, Will Cross, already has 22 tackles. What makes him so good?
Well, I haven't watched a bunch of their defense, to be honest with you. I just know from the offensive guys, they've been pressuring a lot, blitzing a lot, so I think they put their linebackers in positions. I think they make them a focal point and kind of just funnel it back into them. They take a lot of reps on defense, so I think that maybe has a little bit to do with the stats too. I hate seeing our guys be tackle leaders in the conference and be up there, because I just know we're taking a lot of reps. So when I scan through it and I saw our guys are about 30th in the conference, I'm like, you know, awesome. We're only taking 48 reps last weekend, so that's changed. I mean, I think that was a direct relationship between having, you know, Coach Pike, maybe a different philosophy than Coach Bagnell, where we were going 100 mile an hour, score 40 points, but we only had the ball for 24 minutes. We're trying to get back to having a little bit more time of possession and limited on defense, and that'd be perfectly okay with me. So hopefully we can continue to do that.
They haven't won a ton. They don't get a ton of fans there. How do you get your players ready to play when the atmosphere isn't the greatest?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge for the guys. I mean, we preach it pretty hard that no matter who you play, where you play, you only got 11 guaranteed opportunities to play the game that you work the other 40 weeks to go out and do it. So don't miss an opportunity. And I try to stress that even with practices, and the guys look at me, they pull out the Allen Iverson quote, "It's practice, coach." I'm like, yeah, it's more than practice. I mean, we've changed our routine. We really only go out and practice in pads twice a week now. We do a no sweat Thursday, which is really hard for me to digest. We go out and do a walkthrough on Thursday. We do a little bit more running on Friday, kind of more of the Olympic model. But you know, Thursday and Fridays we're in helmets. We're off on Monday, so we only work on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So these kids, I keep telling them, once we got through camp, you look at it. Once we got through fall camp, the amount of padded, we're over halfway done with the practices, which is a real, you know, head scratcher. So we're just trying to keep the kids healthy and get them flying around. So that's been a little bit different on how we do stuff, but it's so far so good. It's been working.
Best of luck, Coach.
I appreciate it.
That's Beaver head coach Brent Bolte. Starting lineups next, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.